Everybody's ready to hear the word of the Lord today. Has anybody enjoyed the series, The Anointing? I hope you enjoyed this. We're going to close this out today. And I'm going to try to be as brief as possible to give us a lot of time to go next door. But I'm going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. And we've been contrasting Saul, which was yesterday's anointing, with David, which is fresh anointing, today's anointing. And we want today's anointing. We want new anointing in our life. Anybody want new anointing in your life? Amen. And it says this in verse 14, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. That's what it means to be an anointed person, that you seek the Lord with your whole heart, that you want to be a person after God's heart. And then in Acts 13, 22, it says, after removing Saul, yesterday's anointing, he made David their king, and God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse. Everybody say, a man after my own heart. And he will do, everybody say, everything I want him to do. Why don't we just lift up our hands real fast and say, Lord, help me to do everything you want me to do. Help me, God, to have a heart, Lord, for what you have a heart for. And Lord, help me to follow you to the full extent of my ability. God, I pray, bless every person that's here today, Lord. God, I pray great and mighty things would happen before we leave. God, increase our faith. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right, I want to talk to us today about things that characterized David's anointing. In other words, things that characterize a fresh anointing. And I want to give you kind of my typical 3 points. That helps me, and I hope it helps you to just kind of remember the big points of a message. And David had a fresh anointing throughout his life, which is what we've established the last few weeks, that I think everybody should have. And how did he get that? How did he become a man after God's own heart? And we talked about last week, he had flaws, but because he was a man after God's own heart, he always had that fresh anointing moving in his life. And I think the first thing, if you want to write these down, the first thing that characterized David's anointing was this, is that he had a high value for the presence of the Lord. He had a high value for God's presence. In his repentance in Psalm 51, which I urge everybody to read that, make that a daily part of your repentance. He says this, he says, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not cast me out of your presence. That in his plea for God to forgive him, it wasn't so much about saving his hide as it was, Lord, I don't care if you take away this throne from me. I don't care if you take away this title. But one thing I am going to ask, and I'm going to be bold about is this, is God, don't cast me out of your presence. And that's something that you always want to be at the center of your life, is the presence of God. Because if we don't have the presence of God in our life, it doesn't mean anything. And that's what happened with Saul, that he had a title, but the presence of God was long gone. And churches can have titles on their front doors, and they can talk about yesterday's anointing. They can talk about what God did yesterday, but the presence of God is long gone. And they're all over our area. They're all over our nation. And I want to say that some of them are quote-unquote Pentecostal, but the presence of God has departed. And we want to be a people, we want to be a church, we want to be individuals where the presence of God has high regard in our life. That it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter how many people we have signed up on ministry teams, all of that means nothing if the presence of God isn't in our lives and it isn't in this church. Can I get an amen? It's all about connecting people to Jesus. It's all about us being personally connected to Jesus. Because here's the thing, you can get good at this. We can get good at being a church. We can get good at, you know, we need to make sure we got people at this door, and we need to make sure that the music's set just right, and we need to make sure that sound and media, and we got people in place here, and all that's fine, and we want to have great organization. We want to have wise use of our resources and human resources. All of that is great, and I want to say you must have that, that gives glory to God. How many knows that disorder is not... does not make God look good. The word of the Lord says, do all things in what? Decency and order. That it needs to be an orderly fashion. However, that cannot replace God's presence. And I want to show you an incident from David's life that reveals the reverence that he had for God's presence. And under Saul, the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God. If you've watched the Indiana Jones movie, maybe you know a little bit about what happened. But the Ark of the Covenant was where God's very presence resided. It was a holy object. It was a place of utmost holiness. And it had been taken out of Israel. And it had been captured by the Philistines. Well, when the Philistines got it, all of their people started getting diseases and bad things started happening. And so they said, take it out of here. And so for a while, it sat at a man's, what we call a threshing floor, his house, and it just stayed there, but it wasn't really where it needed to be, and that was in Jerusalem. And David said, we got to fix that. We have to get the presence of God where it belongs, because if we're going to function as a nation, if we're going to do what God's called us to do as a nation, the presence of God has to be where it's supposed to be. And I want to just stop there today and again reiterate that we can do all the right things. Could have all the right people in place, but sometimes we have to stop and we have to ask the question, is the presence of God where it needs to be? We have to ask that of ourselves. We can get busy. I can get busy as a pastor doing the right things, saying the right things, showing up at the right places, doing the right functions, but the presence of God can be way far away from my life. And so we all have to stop and we have to reset and put the presence of God where it needs to be. And that's how churches begin to die. Because without God's presence, it doesn't mean anything. And there's a reason why, and I take this as a high compliment, people will come in and they'll say, you know what, I don't really get a lot of the stuff you guys do, but there's something there I can't get away from. You know what that is? It's the presence of God. Before this service started today, we had a team of people praying, God, let your presence be here today. Lord, I pray when people walk through those doors, they'll feel something different. They'll feel the Spirit of God. And that's so important because I can't change you. I know as good looking as I am, as awesome as my cape was, and that video was this morning, that can't change you. The only thing that can change us is God's presence. And when we lose that, you might as well shut the doors. You might as well just call yourself the Lions Club or something. Because what differentiates us from any other church, what differentiates us from any club, whatever, is the presence of God. We want God's presence to be here. Does anybody want God's presence to be here? So I want to show you. In 1 Chronicles 13, David says this in verse 3. He says, then let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. In other words, in the days of the old anointing, we did not seek God's presence, that we let it pass. We let it slip by us unaware. But he's saying, I want to usher in a new era into Israel where we put the presence of God where it belongs. And I believe that we need some men, we need some leaders of our families step up and say, you know what, the presence of God hasn't been in this house enough lately. And it's my job as a pastor to, you know, not just monitor, okay, how is our parking team doing, how's our greeters doing, all of that's fine, all those smiles and those things are great, we need that. But most importantly is this, is the presence of God here? Are we so busy that we can't have God's presence? Are we so busy that we told Jesus, you know what, thank you very much, we love you, but we got this. No, we can't do that. God's presence, we have to say, Lord, we want to put your presence right back where it belongs. And then I want you to see what happens. So the presence of God is at this, the Ark of the Covenant is at this guy's house. And so David says, well, we have to get it back to Jerusalem. But he made a mistake in the transition, and I want to show you what happened. In verse 7, it says, and they carried the ark of God, everybody say, on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. And verse 8, and David and all of Israel were celebrating before God with all of their might, with song, lyres, and harps, and tambourine, cymbals, and trumpets, which, by the way, wherever the presence of God is, there's going to be a lot of worship. And if you wonder why we worship the way we do, because God responds to the praises of his people. And wherever worship dies is also where God's presence dies. God follows worship. And so they had like a rock concert for the presence of God as it was making its way back to where it should be. And that's scriptural. That's why we worship the way we do. In verse 9, it says, when they came to the threshing floor of Shaddan, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he was struck down because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Wow. Not very uplifting, is it? Here's what happened. David said, okay, let's put the presence of God on this cart, and let's have people drive it back to Jerusalem where it belongs. And the reason he did that was it'd be much faster. There's one problem with that. That was God gave specific directions for how his presence was to be carried. It was to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. Why is that a big deal? Well, God guards his presence very, very heavily. And here was David's mistake. He made the mistake of convenience. We'll put it on this new cart, and that cart, you know what that represents? That represents our efforts to manage God. Our efforts to do whatever we want to in our convenience, right? That's what David was doing is, you know what, it's going to take too long if we have people physically carry it. They're going to get tired. They're going to have to stop and rest. And so what he did was, you know, let's just come up with this convenient alternative. And what happened was, you know how it is when you got something on a wagon and these roads were probably terrible and they hit a bump and the ark started to sway. And this man named Uzzah, he just put his hand out to steady it and he was instantly struck dead. That's how holy the presence of God is. And what God was sending a message is this, is David, you're going to do this my way. There are no alternatives. You're not smart enough to manage me. You're not smart enough to do what you want to do and manage me the way and manipulate me the way that you want to. And so what we have to learn about this is this. We have to do things God's way. And God's presence is not about our convenience. Oh, am I preaching to anybody today? You know, churches, we put God's presence on carts all the time by, you know, I talked about yesterday's anointing. Well, if we can just manipulate God, if we do what we did yesterday, or maybe if we get the right lights, or maybe if we get the right atmosphere, and all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with those things. But at the end of the day, a light cannot produce the presence of God. You can bring in all the lights that you want. I'm all for it. If we had the budget, I would have the most expensive lights in the world. I love a good light. However, that cannot heal people. That cannot save people. We couldn't just hire the right musicians if they hit the right notes and all the right things will happen. We have to be filled with the presence of God in our life. This church has to be filled with God's presence, and that cannot be manufactured. Can I get it a good amen today? And so here's what I want to tell you is this, is that the anointing follows God's presence. The anointing follows God's presence. If you want to be anointed in your life, if you want our church to be anointed, you have to follow God's presence. Israel, they followed the cloud, what, by day, and the cloud of fire by night, a pillar of fire by night. You know what that was? That was God's presence. And as long as they followed God's presence, what miracles happened? The supernatural occurred. God did incredible things for them as long as they stayed in his presence. And I want to be a pastor, and I know that you want to be a church that wants to follow the presence of God. I love what Moses told the Lord in Exodus 33. There's this incident where God is fed up. Do you know that sometimes God gets fed up? Do you ever get fed up? Thank you, my wife, for being honest. I think she's probably speaking at me. You ever just get the temptation to say, I am done with that person. Come on now. I'm finished. That's how God got with the Israelites. I mean, he brought them out of Egypt, opened up a body of water on dry ground that they walked across and, you know, destroys their enemies. Incredible supernatural things occurred that have never been seen in human history. And all they can say is, we don't like the food. Sounds like us sometimes. And that they fall into paganism, idolatry. And God basically tells Moses, I'm done. And I want you to see what Moses says. Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And that's the attitude that we have to have. Is God, I don't want to take another step. Lord, this church doesn't want to take on another project unless you're going with us. Unless your presence is in the middle of it. Why? Because without that, it's just about us and what we can do. And if it's about what you can do, eventually you're going to run out of resources. You're going to run out of smarts. You're going to run out of everything. But if God is in the middle of it, guess what? It's already blessed. And that's what I want to convince you today is stop praying, God bless me, and get involved in what he's already doing because it's already blessed. Every time you give in this offering, guess what? It's already blessed. Why? Because that's a part of what God's doing. And when you join one of these ministry teams, if you want to be anointed, join a ministry team. Join the dream team. Why? Because that's already blessed. That's already a part of what God's doing. And we want God to be in the middle, not just a parking team to show people where to go, but we want those people to be connectors of God's presence, that when people step out of their car for the first time, then they shake somebody's hand, there's something different about that person. Why? Because we have the presence of God here. That's our secret sauce. We got God. There's a lot of churches out there that can do what we do naturally a lot better. But I believe what distinguishes us is we have this thing called the presence of Jesus here. God's Spirit moving in us. Why don't we lift up our hands? If you want God's presence in your life, God, I pray your presence would be with me everywhere I go, everything I do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I have a friend that was in a restaurant in L.A. And he was eating, and he wasn't dressed like a preacher. He was in street clothes. And this man kept staring at him from across the restaurant, and eventually it got awkward. And this man walked over to him, and he said this. He said, you're one of them, aren't you? And he said, what? He said, you're a Pentecostal preacher, aren't you? He said, yeah. He said, how did you know? He said, I just know. And it wasn't necessarily the clothes he was wearing. You know what it was? It was God's presence. And they begin to talk, and this young man had walked away from God, had been in church, walked away from God, and he began to cry and began to pour his heart out, and God did an awesome thing. You know why? Because somebody had God's presence with them. And that was David's request, was God, I want you to be with me. God, I'm not taking another step unless you're with me. God, we're not going to start this family unless you're with us. God, we're not going to build another building at this church unless you're with us. Come on, somebody. We're not going to do another thing, Lord, until you are with us. Because we can build all the buildings we want to. We can have all the teams that we have. And if God's presence isn't here, we're just another club. We have to have God's presence. All right, and the second and third points today kind of go back to the first. And that David had a high regard for God's presence in the Ark of the Covenant. And within the Ark of the Covenant, there were some articles. And this goes to point two. And that David's anointing had a manifestation of the power of God through the Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit moving and operating in our church. And that follows God's presence. Wherever God's presence is, his Spirit will be moving powerfully. And if God's Spirit's not moving powerfully, we have to ask, what's happening? And within the Ark of the Covenant contained Aaron's staff. If you remember, he had a staff or a rod, and it budded supernaturally as a sign that God was with him, and a jar of manna. If you remember, God fed the Israelites supernaturally through manna that they gathered every morning. It was supernaturally placed there by God. And so he had them put those two articles in the Ark of the Covenant. Why would he have them do that? To remind them that where God's presence is at, supernatural things happen by the Spirit of God. And we have to have the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. We have to have the Holy Spirit moving in this church. How many believes that God still heals? Oh, come on. How many believes that God still delivers people from addictions? God still heals broken families. God still can help people mentally, physically. How many believes that angels still walk this earth? How many believe that miracles are still a reality? It's not just a fable that God supernaturally does stuff. Anybody believe that? Anybody want to see that? And so when we talk about anointing is this, if you want to be an anointed person, there should be supernatural stuff follow. And here's the thing, it doesn't look the same for everybody. My gift is not your gift. We were in Growth Track today, we talked about that. However, you should see supernatural things follow you if you are in the anointing and the presence of God. That's what it's all about. That's what makes us different. We believe stuff happens when we pray in the name of Jesus. And in verse 49 of Luke 24, Jesus had been giving them lots of teaching. Okay, you did not get better teaching than the apostles, right? They got to study under Jesus for 3 years. They studied under God himself for 3 years. You can't improve on that, right? There's no online course you can find better than that today, right? But notice what he told them. He didn't say, okay, take all the stuff I've given you and apply it. He said what? He said, behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. In other words, he didn't say, go read a lot of books. Don't go read the scriptures over and over. He said, I want you to stay until you're clothed, what? From power, with power from on high. What's that speaking of? The Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we think we can know, if we just know enough of the Word of God, if we just know enough stuff, that anointing will follow. Well, that's part of it. But you know what the Word is all about? I talked about it last week. It's about pushing us to action. And you know how we act? By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's where we get our boldness. That's where we get our wisdom. That's where we get everything that we do. Every ministry team, we must have the presence of God and we must have the power of God. Again, what separates us from a lot of groups, we believe we have the very power of God moving in our lives. That what separates us from Walmart, they might have some more trained people, or what separates us from, I don't know, some corporation out there, is they might have smarter people, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and so God has empowered us to do what we need to do. Come on, somebody. Preach with me today. And so some people, they try to do what they want God to do, try to manipulate God, and they don't leave any room for God's Spirit to move in their life. And what we have to realize today is that we are helpless without the help of the Holy Ghost. I cannot do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fill in the blank enough without the help of the Holy Spirit. But here's what I'm telling you. I don't apologize for my anointing, and you shouldn't apologize for your anointing. When I'm anointed and when I'm operating under the anointing, I am confident and I know that there's nothing that can stop what God wants to do through me. Why? Because it's not me. It's the power of the Holy Ghost moving through me. Anybody believe that? I wonder if I get somebody to stand and say, I want that kind of anointing on my life. I want the anointing to do the impossible. I want to lay hands on the sick and see him recovered. I want to encourage those who are down and out. I want to see supernatural things happen. Somebody go after it today. Somebody reach for it today. I believe God can fill somebody right now. Amen. That's what we want. We want to see supernatural things happen here. What does Mark chapter 16? Jesus said this. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything. And by the way, they will take up serpents accidentally, not on purpose. And if they drink anything deadly accidentally, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and what? They will recover. You know what he's saying? If you are a follower of Jesus, supernatural stuff should happen. And I want to ask you, when's the last time something supernatural happened as a result of your faith? And I'm not saying that to guilt you. I'm giving you an aim to shoot for. You need to pray, God, do supernatural things in my life. Give me supernatural dreams. Give me supernatural words. God, give me supernatural vision. Help me to see things before they exist. God, open my ears to hear what you're saying. God, I pray, help me to supernaturally help people. Does anybody want that? Anybody know we need that? That's what this world needs right now, is a supernatural church. The world doesn't need a powerless church. The world doesn't need just another church with a nice smile. What they need is a church that knows God, has God's presence and God's power moving in their life. Can I get an amen? So the third thing that marked the anointing of David is this: submission to the word of God. Submission to the word of God. Because within that ark, there was Aaron's rod, and there was the manna, which represents the supernatural. And then there was also the Ten Commandments, which represents God's law, God's word, God's given word. And here's the thing. Some churches are heavy on God's spirit, but there's no place for God's word. Some churches are heavy on God's word, but there's no room for God's spirit. And for God's presence to operate the way it should, you have to have both. Why? Because the word, when we follow the word, it produces the supernatural. How do we know to lay hands on the sick? The word. How did Mary know what to name Jesus? God gave her a word. What? Through an angel. And so we have to rest upon God's word. We can't get so fanatical about signs and wonders that we forget the word of God. We have to have a high place for the word of God in our life. You have to love God's word. Why? Because there's a lot of stuff out there that might have some supernatural elements, but if it's not rooted in God's word, it's not of him. So we have to have the word of God firmly rooted in our life. Hebrews 4:12 says this: for the word of God is what? Living. Everybody say powerful. And sharper than what? Any two-edged sword. Piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have to have God's word in your life for God's presence to be there. And they feed off each other. Wherever God's presence is, his word will be. And his word will produce supernatural things. Why? Because the word itself is supernatural. I want you to see this in Psalm 138, verse 2. This is David. He says, I will worship toward your holy temple. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. I want you to notice this last line. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Wow. God says he has magnified his word above his name. Why is that? Well, I want to ask you, how do you know the name? Somebody say, how do you know God's name? How do you know the name of Jesus? The word. So if you want to know if something's of God, if you don't want to be deceived, you have to be in the word of God. And here's where you might say, well, that's kind of a strange point to bring up. Here's this, where a lot of people veer up, where a lot of people lose the power of their anointing. They move away from the word of God. They go and do what they want to do. Everything we do has to be rooted in God's word. If you want to have an anointing in your life, get deeper into God's word. Know God's word in and out, that it almost becomes one with you. You'll see supernatural things happen. The miraculous was first unveiled in the Bible when God revealed his name. God revealed his name first through his word to Moses, and then supernatural things happen. So we want to be a church that we are full of the Spirit, but we're also full of the word. And so many people, they desire the word, but they don't want the spirit. I know a lot of good churches, you hear a lot of good Bible teaching, but there's no spirit. They lead people to a certain place and then kind of leave them. Why? Because they don't leave room for the Spirit of God to move. We want to be a church where we're going to teach the word, but here in a few minutes, you know what we're going to do? We're going to leave room for the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life. And that's where God's presence is, where his word and his spirit are equally reverenced. And here's where I'm going to go with this today. The reason why we have a high place for God's word in our life, I'm going to ask you a question. How do you know what to do? God's word. How do we know what ministries we should have? What ministry teams we should have? God's word. And here's the point I want to bring to you today, is that God's word brings us to action. God's word brings us to action. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, what? Deceiving yourselves." See, a lot of you know the word inside and out, but you're not doing anything with it. A lot of you come week after week and you just kind of come and you take up space. You're not a part of a ministry team. If you disappeared tomorrow, nobody would notice because you're not involved. And I don't say that condescendingly. I say that to try to inspire you. You got to be doers of the word. And so find a place that you can serve today. You know, Jesus said, the harvest is what? Plentiful, plenteous. But the laborers are what? Few. I don't want that to be the case with our church today. I want us to be full of laborers for the harvest that God is sending our way. Can we all stand at this point? Can we all stand right now? Let's lift up our hands to God. Can we close our eyes for just a second? And I want to ask you a question. Can you feel God's presence in your life? Where's God's presence at? Have you forgotten about it? Have you left it? Because I want to tell you, if you can't feel God's presence, he's not the one that moved. More than likely, you moved. Maybe it's just been a while since you felt God moving in your life. Things have just become cold and monotonous, and doing what you have to do to get by. I want to encourage you, put God's presence back where it belongs, because that's all that matters. We need God's presence. If you're relying upon God's presence just when you come to church, that will not get you through. You have to have the presence of God in your home. You have to have the presence of God in your personal life. You have to have the presence of God in your family. And God's presence will not dwell where there's offensive things happening. You have to bring yourself to repentance. So we're going to do that right now, all of this place. Let's lift up our hands. Lord, we repent today of anything in our life, Lord, that's keeping us from experiencing your presence in our life. Lord, we repent as a church, God. We want your presence here more than anything else. Lord, regardless of who showed up today or who didn't show up, the most important thing is that you showed up here. Lord, that we entertained your presence. Lord, I pray you would be, God, in our life, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, we would see supernatural things happen in this place. In Jesus' name. Let's put a hand on the person next to us if you're comfortable with it right now. Can we do that? Can we just pray right now that God would use us supernaturally? God, I pray, Jesus, we would be a church, oh God. Lord, we would be a people, Lord, that when people need prayer, when they need a miracle, they can know where to go to. They might not understand everything we do, but they know we know how to pray. We know how to get God's presence. We know how to get a hold of God. Jesus, I pray we would know you intimately. In the name of the Lord, I pray, God, break every chain today. In Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands to the Lord right now.